What is most pitying little families with only 5 or 6 children do with themselves?
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
You've given me a massive headache.
It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent, brought to you by Matt's Cookies. They're just like homemade cookies with real ingredients. Now also available through Peapod Delivery Service. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes a lot of problems when you have kids. Well, yeah. Say more and more research. Renowned marriage historian Stephanie Kuntz recently wrote in a piece for the New York Times, "Till Children Do Us Part," that baby not only makes 3, but can also cause a lot of difficulty. She notes that in recent decades, more than 25 separate studies have established that marital quality drops, often quite steeply, after the transition to parenthood. She goes on to quote a study showing that if a couple both want children and plan for them, they are more likely to be happy after baby comes than those who slide into parenthood. What she doesn't discuss, of course, is correlation versus causation. You know, I mean, is the planning for the baby the thing that makes a difference, or is it the couples who are more welcoming to children to begin with are more likely to stick it out, to stick together and to be happy in any event? My guess is the latter. The same study by researchers at the University of California actually showed that those in more, quote, traditional marriage roles saw marital quality decline after a baby enters the family. Of course they did. In other words, she doesn't think, you know, the wife doesn't think that he does enough around the house. He doesn't think she's grateful enough for his input at the office. But, yeah, hello, I'm not surprised by this finding, right? If we are programmed by our culture to believe our mate doesn't do enough or that we are being slighted, and that is certainly the case for the messages bombarding women in particular, we're constantly told that our husbands are just useless oafs and they don't understand our feelings and they should be our best friends and they're not, and why aren't they as eager to change the baby's diapers as we are? Not that anybody's really eager to do that, but in any event, we are living in a culture of resentment, and we get those messages all the time. So, of course, when it slides into the picture that looks like the culture says it shouldn't, you know, we're going to have, quote-unquote, less marital satisfaction. That actually makes sense to me. On the other hand, by the way, a 2006 study by researchers at the University of Virginia showed just the opposite, at least as far as women go, that they tended to be much happier in traditional marriages as long as their husbands were fairly emotionally invested. And it's hard to pinpoint these things. In any event, I am not questioning for a moment the idea that marriages without children experience less strife. Come on, friends. Duh. Kids are complicated, stressful, delightful, difficult, worrisome little beings. And with our children, the stakes seem so darn high because guess what? They are. And that's naturally, well, stressful. Hey, you're listening to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart welcoming you to another edition of the show. So glad you're with us today on AM 1160 WYLL. Lots to talk about in the heartbeat part of the program. If I can get to everything, we'll talk about guys who aren't as into God as girls are. And actually, there's some genetic studies showing that we are more hardwired than the men to be into God, or as Kathleen Falsani wrote in the Chicago Sun-Times, they're just not that into him, talking about the men. And then the advice columns that I always love to take apart, although this one actually, the response was good, but a girlfriend finds that the excuses are wearing thin for the man who won't marry her, but the idea of breaking up scares her. Lots to talk about on It Takes a Parent. Then later, Mary Beth Hicks, one of my favorite parenting writers, on the hookup culture and how the Obama administration is encouraging promiscuity, all kinds of interesting things there. Also, did you know that fewer and fewer people are going to church in America? Fewer claim to be Christians or follow a faith life? And are we really surprised? And then a little bit about fitness. When we get to the end of the show. So stick with us. Lots going on. But back to couples slip slide away on the parenthood slope on on It Takes a Parent. You know, and I've talked about this in the past, but I just couldn't resist revisiting this because I actually did my column on this week for the Sun-Times, and you can get that on my blog, betsysblog.com. But here's the thing that really struck me in the Coons piece, and I think it contributes to the problem, and that is that today parents on average get to spend much more time with their children than they did 40 years ago, a full 20% more. And that's pretty staggering, right? Now, I really can't imagine anyone thinks today's all about me. Kids are better off for all the attention. Mom and Dad apparently aren't. In fact, a column I came across a couple years ago, really interesting stuff, I thought. Does fatherhood make you happy? Harvard psychologist Dan Gilbert asked in a Time magazine piece right around Father's Day about 2 years ago, I think. Gilbert wrote that studies show people are happier when they are eating or shopping than interacting with their kids. He notes that an active parenting makes us about as happy as, well, an active housework. Ouch. You know, although I hear him on that. On the other hand, here's the problem. Since when is it my kid's job to make me happy right now? The minute you start saying, well, aren't they making me happy? And if they're not, then they're not worthwhile. When you put that all on the same playing field, of course it doesn't make any sense. Parenting is hard. It does not surprise me at all, the studies that show that parents with children in the home are far more likely, or at least somewhat more likely, but statistically significantly more likely, to be depressed than people without kids. The stakes are high, friends. It's not easy. There's a lot riding on those little souls. Of course, you know, when you've got nothing else to worry about but hanging out with your friends and having a good time and, you know, mowing the lawn on Saturday, you don't have to worry about sending a kid to college or this one's got a drug problem or that one's not, whatever. Of course your life is going to be easier. That's just not rocket science. But anyway, Gilbert wrote, in admitting that our children don't necessarily bring us a daily dose of happiness, that, quote, rather than deny that fact, we should celebrate it. Our ability to love beyond all measure, those who try our patience and weary our bones, is at once our most noble and most human quality. So you know what, friends? Call this mom noble and human. Now, I'm not saying I had the answer to all this, but you know what? I will note that a dear friend of mine, a loving, very involved mom of five, seems to have her head on straight in these matters. When one of her children says, I'm bored, she responds, that sounds like a personal problem to me. Good for her. And you know what? I don't think it's any accident that she and her husband have had a long-term happy marriage. So speaking of marriage, this was in the Sun-Times this week, in the Ask Ellie column, about the girl who finds that her boyfriend's excuses for not getting married are wearing thin. So listen to this. Dear Ellie, my boyfriend of 5 years, yes, 5 years, and I are in our late 30s. Neither of us has been married before. I told him how important marriage, family, and stability are to me. He responded positively, but nothing changed. I'm done waiting, enabling his commitment issues, and feeling foolish. I feel strongly about ending the relationship. It'll devastate me as he is the love of my life, but I'm tired of this transient relationship and his endless excuses. Now, here's the thing she writes. This really floors me. This is really pathetic. The problem is my friend, she writes. Some agree with me and say they'll support my decision, while others say dating for women my age and older is insanely difficult and I might never find someone to date, let alone consider marrying. They say I should just repress my resentment and focus on the positive aspects. First of all, why is she polling her friends for what she should do about her own life? But then second, who are these people? Get rid of the friends and the boyfriend. Are you kidding me? I don't have a woman in my life who would say that to me. I mean, if I were with somebody who after 6 months wasn't, you know, crazy about me, they would say, the guy isn't good enough for you. Move on. They have said that to me. But this just staggers me that these women, these so-called friends of hers, are that pathetic. And I'll tell you, one of the things that's happening, and I know I harp about this in the show, but, you know, here it is again. Clearly, this woman is sleeping with this man. That is the first thing she should do is say, that is over, pal, and then let's just see what he does with that, if anything. But this lack of self-esteem and self-respect, and I've seen it in women around me, it is just really sad. And you know what? If he's not marrying her after that length of time, I mean, that's crazy. But I guarantee you that it's not just the issue of marriage. At some level, he's holding her at arm's length emotionally. He's not letting her into his heart. He's not letting her into his life. He's not connecting with her. He is holding back. Marriage and that some level of emotional commitment and involvement from a man, they go hand in hand. And if he's holding back one, I guarantee you she's being stiff-armed on the other. And one is often a symptom of the other, but they typically go hand in hand. And she needs to get away from this guy as soon as possible. You know, I had a dear friend my age. I'm in my 40s. And dear high school friend, and I think all my high school friends are gorgeous and fun and vibrant, intelligent and successful, and this one was no exception. And she was in this situation, and for years she dated a fellow. I think it was close to 5 years. And, you know, there was all these excuses, yeah, we'll get married in the next year and blah, blah, blah. And then finally, thank goodness, took a little while, but that's okay. She'd had it, moved on. And, gosh, I think it was about maybe not even a year ago. And she just very recently got married to this fabulous guy who's just crazy about her. So, you know, my friend here in the, Thoroughly Confused is what she calls herself. And Ellie essentially gives her the same advice. You know, she actually kind of says, okay, girlfriend, move on and stop and get rid of those downer girlfriends and have a little more self-confidence, a little more faith in yourself. Maybe get out there, get a great new haircut, get to the gym, you know, expand your horizons a little bit, read some good books. And you know what? You're gonna find a great guy, but this one is doing you no good, girlfriend. Move on. Get rid of those friends. Anyway, you are listening to It Takes a Parent. Sometimes it takes a parent to just give some good common sense advice, don't you think? Oh, please, what I see going on in our culture makes me crazy, but that's why we're here on the show, AM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart. Lots to talk about in the segments ahead. Mary Beth Hicks, one of my favorites, is next. We're going to be talking about the hookup culture. And while I told my kids if they engage in it, I will hunt them down and seriously hurt them. So come back right after the break to It Takes a Parent.
Answers to the questions you've been afraid to ask.
Ask the Pastor with Pastor Gregory Dicko.
Weekday evenings from 5 to 6 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Math. A quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookie? Math. And that's why Math is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around.
Not long ago, a customer suggested we sell Math's chocolate chip cookies in health food stores because of Math's all-natural ingredients. No additives or preservatives and less than 1/3 milligram of cholesterol in every cookie. Now, we appreciate the suggestion, but we don't make any health claims for Matt's. Just one psychological claim. Eat a Matt's chocolate chip cookie, and you'll feel real happy.
A quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. And that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Yeah, that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Matt's.
Now Matt's cookies are available via Peapod Delivery Service.
Are you tired of battling the same old sicknesses and diseases? Don't you owe it to yourself and your family to try an alternative to the medical establishment and manufactured drugs? At 50 years old, Dr. Tobias, MD, was diagnosed with diabetes, cancer, and suffered from a stroke. She felt God had a better plan through nature and holistic health. Today, Dr. Tobias is 82 and healthy and vibrant. Her quest for knowledge and healing has now benefited thousands of people with a host of illnesses. For your free consultation, call the Tobias Healing Institute at 708-848-1200.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, how the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it, Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think that maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? Acclaimed facial cosmetic surgeon Dr. Wafi Khanna and the folks at Skinsational MedSpa in Hinsdale can help. You can look more on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. You know about Botox for frown lines and Restylane to plump lips and facial folds, but they also offer photo rejuvenation. With no downtime, it removes most brown and red spots and improves dull complexions. There's microdermabrasion and pixel resurfacing to treat large pores and rough skin texture. But what's really incredible about all this? Just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty and wellness. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skinsational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180 or visit hannahmd.com.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160 WYLL.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. So a few nights ago, I was watching local TV news, a special about the hookup culture. For those of you who are blessedly not familiar with it, although if you have college kids, you'd better get familiar with it. It's the culture that is just, and a lot has been written and said about this, that dating does not exist anymore on college campuses. It's all about meeting people at parties, hooking up, having sexual encounters with them, and moving on. It used to be that you dated and had a relationship, and then, yes, I fully realize people have been having sex out of marriage for millennia. I'm well aware of this, but typically there was at least that dating relationship first. Now you start by having sex, apparently, according to all these reports, and then perhaps you move on into the dating relationship. So I'm watching this, and I was with my kids. My girls were there. My son didn't happen to be. And you know, I kind of wanted them to see this, and I said, this is just horrifying. This is absolutely degrading. They had this one fellow on, this good-looking fellow, a college kid somewhere around the college area, Chicago area. It wasn't clear exactly where. But I'd love to find out this kid's name. And, you know, good-looking big guy, fraternity guy. He said, you know, if I get drunk 5 times and I'm smashed and I have sex with the same woman 5 times in a row, you know what? She better not think there's any emotional connection there. And I thought, you know, pal, I would love to find out who your parents are, your name and your parents, and call them and say, are you real proud of your son? Because that's just revolting. Anyway, so that's just, you know, more stuff in the culture that just isn't fun. I did tell my daughters, and I would have told my son if he were there, that if they ever behaved in this way, I will hunt them down and hurt them. And I'm hoping they remember that as they get older. Anyway, we're going to talk about this and more with one of my favorite columnists, Mary Beth Hicks of the Washington Times. Mary Beth, welcome to It Takes a Parent.
Hi, Betsy. How you doing?
Oh, I'm so glad to have you with me so we can bemoan this together.
Yes, and, my pleasure. Let's bemoan away.
All right. And for my listeners, Mary Beth, of course, is the author of Bringing Up Geeks, How to Protect Your Kids' Childhood and They Grow Up Too Fast World. And I love that book. It came out from Penguin last year. So do get it if you can. Mary Beth writes a great column for the Washington Times, and she and I get together sometimes and just talk about this nutty world that we're living in. And I'm watching this last night, and you know, you're familiar with the hookup culture. That's been out there. We know about that.
Yep.
But it's really pathetic. And they had this young woman on there as well talking about the same thing. Well, sometimes you just go to bed with a guy, and then you wake up the next morning, and you just sort of think, wow, yeah, I don't really know you. And I thought, oh, your parents, they just must be really proud right now.
It's heartbreaking when you see what it's doing to just the hearts and souls of young adults. I have two teenage daughters. My oldest is 19. She's a college sophomore. Mm-hmm. The second one is 17. She's a high school senior. And it's real. What's really disconcerting and heartbreaking as a mom is my girls don't date at all. They've never been on a date. You know, they went to high school dances. That's
good for
but
you.
They don't date at all because this is the expectation that guys have. They're like, Mom, there's no way.
Now, is this, so it's not a rule. It's just how it's sort of the chips, that this is how the chips have fallen in your house.
If you choose to be a moral girl, a young woman, who decides to live a chaste lifestyle, if you just want to be social and have fun with friends and maybe date a guy, go to a movie, get to know him, you will be hard-pressed in this culture to find boys to date in the young adult era. It's really sad. And so both my girls have a ton of friends. They have big social networks of guys and girls together, but they've never paired off in any way because they're really repulsed by the expectation that any sort of relationship requires a sexual commitment in, you know, outside of marriage. And we're like, so like, Mom, what do we do? I said, just keep waiting. Somebody's out there. But, you know,
well,
I,
good
I know,
for
I know
you.
Around, but
yeah.
It is tough. It's very tough. And it's heartbreaking to watch. They don't get to have a fun social life that they would love to have.
Yeah, good for you. And, you know, there have been interesting couple books that came out. One was called Sex and the Soul, which came out about a year ago. And it talked about this very phenomenon and how more and more young women are crying out for a more courtship-based idea of romance versus what we were seeing now. And this is just educated and not even necessarily religious women at all, but just a sense of incredible loss. And what the author found is that on every single college campus, it didn't matter if it was secular or Catholic, they had a high expectation for this kind of hookup culture. The only exception to that was overtly evangelical schools. And even right. There, you're going to find it. But she said it wasn't the culture there. There you have a culture of being able to stay out of this and have a more courtship-oriented romantic life. So it's really, it's a very sad thing. And I've got three girls, and I'm already sort of worried about the kinds of the men who are out there for them because
well,
the culture
sure.
is steeping them in this horror show.
The good news is I'm raising a son, so we can, you know,
I am too. You know what? I hadn't quite thought of it that way before. For the other mothers who are panicked for their daughters, I've got a fabulous son. And
exactly.
So, you know what? I guess we maybe arranged marriages aren't such a bad idea.
We're so kooky after all. Well, I'll tell you what, Betsy, this is one of the biggest pieces of advice that I've given my daughters and one of the best reasons to stay away from drinking because that's the other issue that is hand-in-hand so many of the guys are just cruising the way guys, the male of the species always has.
Yeah,
but when girls compromise themselves with alcohol, they are so much more vulnerable. And then they sort of feel like the damage has been done. When they've made that bad judgment and gone too far, then they've kind of spoiled themselves. And as Kate says, you know, on any given Saturday or Sunday morning, you know, you see these girls doing the walk of shame back to the
really?
Dorm. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. It really is.
Yeah, and in fact, the study it came out in the show last night, too, that alcohol plays into this in a huge way. And then there was a study I saw this week. I thought I brought it into the studio with me, but now I don't see it, about the findings of that men don't actually find women who are drunk as sexy as women think they are who are drunk. It's actually so, I don't know, it's a little bit.
Yeah, I'm reminded of that Brad Paisley song about alcohol, you know, and it makes white people think they can dance and, you know. It's very liberating, but it's not healthy. Yeah,
this is interesting. Guys just aren't into drunk girls. Attention college girls pounding beers to keep up with the cute guy at the bar won't make him want you. It might actually sexually, but it's not going to do much over the long haul. So girls pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
So lots going on. We were talking before the show about, you know, we've got this crazy culture here where this guy is standing up on television. And I know that men have seduced women since the beginning of time. And it's been, you know, I know I'm well aware of that. I'm not naive. But I do think our culture is changing. You have him talking about it on television and being open about this, not just to his friends, you know, in the locker room, but being open about this and proud of it, knowing his parents are going to see him on TV, knowing his parents' friends are going to see him on TV. And this young woman, the same thing. And I think that's, you know, that's just pathetic. But we've talked about this where the culture is just changing. And you were telling me, Mary Beth, and I've seen a few news reports on this, that now even the British government, and how long before it gets to our government, is saying things like, hey, don't moralize to your kids when it comes to this stuff. Come on.
That's right. This is the trend you see. And it's I think, two generations of kids being told, well, that's just what teenagers are going to do. They're going to do it anyway. So, you know, we supply them with condoms and we give them, you know, advice about birth control. And we don't tell them that, you know, there's a moral component to a sexual life. And so now, sure enough, you see it in Great Britain.
So what is going on there?
Definitely will be here. Okay, so the British government, the Ministry of Children, Families, and Schools, has come out with guidelines, or it's actually a leaflet that they're sending to parents in Britain, encouraging parents to talk about sex with their kids, their teenagers down to age 13, and encourage them all to use contraceptives and condoms, but not to moralize about sex, Betsy, because that would close off the lines of communication. We shouldn't tell kids that sex before marriage is either right or wrong, because then they won't talk to us about it. So we should just provide a lot of access to, you know, contraception. And so, which of course, if you follow that logic, it makes virtually no sense.
Right. I was going to say, you know what, there's a reason they used to rule the world and they don't anymore. You know, I'm just seeing something here. And
well, honestly, if you file the logic, you go, okay, well, then I shouldn't tell them, you know, that stealing is wrong.
Right, of course.
Because I don't want them to, you know, cut off the communication in case they want to off the nanny. I mean,
yes.
It's insane.
Yeah. No,
it's insane.
It is. And again, I'm just hearkening back to, I understand why they used to be an empire, and now they're not, because that just makes absolutely no sense. But it does follow this pattern of, particularly when it comes to sexual issues, absolutely, parents are not to be a parent, no longer takes a parent. It takes a government to say, hey, do whatever you want. Conversely, I talked about this in the show last week, boy, when it comes to food, we've put all of our values and morals onto that. It better be organic. It better be locally grown, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No red meat, you know.
Right. But there's way more moralism about eating than there is about
that appetite. Right. But now the sexual appetite is, you tell somebody you went to an all-you-can-eat buffet and they look at you like, oh, something's wrong with you. But, boy, tell them, you know, a sex buffet and, well, that's fine. Don't make any value judgments. So then your orientation was, hey, but that's coming to the United States. Look at some of the stuff that our president's doing.
Our president is, and in fact, yesterday he announced it with a lot of flourish, a new White House commission on women and girls. And this commission is filled with, feminist, really hardcore feminists.
So what you're saying is that you're not on the commission, Mary Beth. Is that what I'm?
Not
is that what I'm understanding?
You weren't invited either, were you?
Sure, I must have not gotten the phone call. Must have just been out. You know? Who knew?
And maybe it's out of the mailbox. I just didn't get my letter.
Yeah.
But, you know, hardcore feminists and you know, pro-choice, pro-abortion activists and, people who are very much a part of the sexual permissiveness culture that really is telling our kids, you can't control your urges, so just make sure you control long enough to put on a condom.
Yeah.
And we can do so much better for our kids, but this is what's coming, I believe. Commission on Women and Girls, I believe, is really positioning itself to be at the forefront of new policy from the government to parents, which is going to discourage us from passing our values about sex onto our kids.
Yeah, well, and, you know, hopefully listeners of this show know that it takes a parent to do that stuff. It does not take the government. It takes us to pass on values and to help our kids to not behave like animals. Mary Beth Hicks, Washington Times. Stay with us. We're going to come right back with lots more of this after the break, friends. You're listening to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. Do not touch that dial.
Hi, I'm Larry Morrow, announcer for Truth for Life. Listen to Pastor Alistair Begg weekday mornings at 7:30, right here on AM 1160 WYLL.
AM 1160 WYLL.
Friends, you know how important physical fitness is, not just to your physical, but to your emotional health and well-being. So then how is your New Year's resolution to get or stay fit going for you? Well, mine is off to a great start thanks to Elite Fitness in Western Springs. Conveniently located in the western suburbs, Elite Fitness offers state-of-the-art weights and cardio and weightlifting machines along with great personal training. Now with their new expanded facilities, there's room for all your fitness needs. But what I love most are the classes. Elite offers a wide range of spin, Pilates, strong, boxing, total body fitness classes, and more, and their instructors are great. For the first time in my life, I'm regularly going to fitness classes several times a week. I'm having fun, I'm in better shape than ever, and when I take a class in the morning, I have a sense of added well-being that lasts throughout the day. Hey, maybe I'll see you there. Join now or find out more at elitefitnessws.com. That's elitefitnessws.com. Calling all campers and mom and dad, that's you too. This is Betsy encouraging you to enjoy the time of your family's life at Cape Wise Family Camp in Branson, Missouri this summer. Choose your 6 days of solid Christian teaching and fun activities for the whole family in a beautiful Hawaii-like resort environment. My kids and I love it, so we're headed back this summer. Check out KQI Family Camp, part of the Kanakuk family of Christian sports camps, by going to my website, betsysblog.com. KQI, a family vacation with eternal significance.
If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host, Betsy Hart, can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942. That's 847-472-8942.
Get answers to the questions you've been afraid to ask.
Ask the Pastor with Pastor Gregory Dickow.
Weekday evenings from 5 to 6 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart, and my blood pressure is going through the roof. Because I think about this stuff, I look at my precious daughters, I just think how the world is telling them that they are to behave in this sexually aggressive way, a la the worst inclinations of men, not even the best inclinations of men. And it's the feminists, really, who have brought us to this, and this sort of anti-religious culture, this smorgasbord of appetites run amok. And they're even, I think, Mary Beth, encouraging girls to have appetites that, frankly, they're not really, they don't often have, or they're not even supposed to have, because we are built differently than the guys. That's by God's design. It's a good thing within marriage. But boy, we've really messed things up when it comes to this kind of teaching on sex and morality. And now we have from what you're telling me, the Barack Hussein Obama White House isn't going to do us any favors here.
Well, and you know, what's really the big misnomer is that the sexual liberty that supposedly girls can enjoy is not liberty. It's actually very confining. And
yeah.
I think we've objectified women and girls more than we ever have. You know, it's, you know, oh, yippee skippy, you've got the freedom to have sex because there's such a thing as contraception in the world. And as long as that's the only thing you ever need to worry about. And, you know, and so then we've got the girls gone wild kind
yeah,
of spring
yeah.
break mentality. And here it is, spring break again. And, you know, you see all the video clips on TV and the, you know, discouraging kids from going to dangerous places. But any place where the kids are, you know, involved in basically a hedonistic lifestyle for a week is a dangerous place, not just physically, but emotionally. And I think the damage that it's doing to the hearts and souls of girls and women is you know, kind of, that's the hidden cost. And
yeah,
I don't know that we can ever quantify it.
Yeah, and let's not misunderestimate, as our dear former President George Bush might have said, the cost to men, too. I mean, it's really,
yeah.
it is absolutely the case that for the most part, sexual relations are far more emotionally infused for women than they are for men. Hello, this is not rocket science. This is how God designed us. But then when we so turn that on its head that we tell women there should be essentially no emotional connection, that's degrading to men too. And I've thought about this in the past, where if you take it in a marriage situation, I remember talking to a pastor about this, I thought he had a great point. And he said, you know, first of all, if women really were, if they really did have the sexual appetites men do, civilization would have stopped at the cave. It would have just, that's it. It would have been over. So there's a design that we tend to be built differently. And within marriage, that can be an amazing thing. He gets to learn patience and the art of seduction and caring for somebody who's at a different place than she is. She learns to give more of herself than maybe she really thought she was able to, or et cetera. I mean, there's a dance that goes on, and that dance of seduction and all of that within marriage is an amazing gift of God, and it's a beautiful thing. But then when you tear that apart and you tell these girls they're to be acting not even as the best men do, who maybe have those appetites, but learn to follow them in a way that appreciates and respects women, you have these women pursuing the worst appetites. You're telling them they should when they really don't want to. Boy, have we perverted things.
I do think so, and I think that the self-esteem of young adults is suffering in the process, because it is, I mean, like you said, what young man feels honorable when he knows he's using women in this way? And, you know, notwithstanding the guy you saw in the interview,
yeah.
who clearly is, you know, there's a lot that's wrong with our culture when that's what gets on the air, but, you know, but I do think that we have to respect the fact that boys and young men need to be told that you won't feel honorable in this. And,
exactly.
And being honorable is crucial to your self-esteem and to knowing that you're, you know, living up to what you need to be. So it is, it's all bad, and it doesn't make it, but it requires self-control in order to combat. And that's what our culture's telling kids. There is no self-control.
No,
you can't have it anyway. So
yeah.
What the heck? Yeah.
And, you know, and again, back to how this makes men feel. you know, a good man is designed to care for and protect and respect women and children. And one of the ways he does that is by respecting her sexuality, et cetera, et cetera. That is what a good man does. It's how he's designed to operate. And when we take that from him and we allow women to behave like animals or encourage them to, so that he no longer is in a position to respect and care for, then we've really degraded him too. And by the way, just in case anybody listening is, and I'm sure I can speak for Mary Beth here, but I know I can myself, I am the farthest thing from a prude you're ever going to find. But what
okay,
I
you're
see,
speaking for both of us.
All right,
yeah.
good. Let's just be clear. I mean, I'm not married, so I'm in a little bit different situation, a lot different situation than you are. But I'm just saying for the record, you know, I see these billboards and things like that for these ads, like gentlemen's clubs and things like that, and we'll drive by them with my kids, and I don't say to them, "Don't look at that." What I'll say to them is how unbelievably sad that the gift of seduction and sexual relations in marriage, which can be awesome, has been so degraded and so used and so minimized. So that's my concern, is that it's not that that stuff is ugly. It's that outside of the right context, it's not good enough. Not for you, not for me, not for my kids. That's what I think is sad, because I want so much more for them and hopefully for me again too someday. But anyway, one of the reasons I think we got here, Mary Beth, and you recently wrote about this, is the fact that our culture is less religious. And you had an interesting column just this week about, you know, we are going to church a lot less. The new studies were just out talking about that. And one of the reasons is, you know, our kids are in soccer on Sunday mornings. They've got family, other things going on. There's no sense of, we go to church on Sunday mornings and that's what our family does. And I got to believe that's impacting what we're seeing around us.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a study that was done out of Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut, and it's an ongoing study. This is the third round of it. And it's really affirmed the trends that they saw in the second version of the study, which is that there's a growing percentage of Americans who identify themselves as having no religion. They don't necessarily say they don't believe in God, but they definitely identify themselves as, if you say, what is your religion, they say none. And, you know, the sense of tradition about a religious practice is really waning in our culture. And so kids are growing up with no concept of a religious life at all. And even though we know by research from children about children for years and years, Robert Coles from Harvard University wrote The Spiritual Life of Children, the kids have a spiritual yearning. They really do. They want to know about God. They want a sense of a creator. They want to ask, you know, why did you make mosquitoes? They have an idea about God. And we know that kids who grow up in a home that has a formal religious practice, just they have a greater sense of themselves as part of the larger world. And not for nothing, they do better in school. They get more sleep, they eat more vegetables. So that's, you know, fun. But it's really a sad trend is in my eyes, because it's not just that adults are choosing for themselves to be less religious, but they are choosing not to give any sort of religious life to their children. And I think we are shortchanging kids dramatically. I mean, we're all about their athletic development and their social life, their academics. We're very competitive about their cognitive development. We're hitting all the hot spots, but we're leaving their spiritual side completely unaddressed. And as this piece of the culture grows, with more and more people identifying themselves as non-religious, we're going to see a culture of secular society that, where everything is simply a choice you can make or not make, and, you know, moral relativism will simply be the order of the day. So I think it's really worth noting and being concerned about.
Yeah, you know, it is. And look, it takes a parent to get a kid to church on Sunday mornings. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I gotta tell you, I'm a fascist about it. I mean, I just...
Fascist for God, though, yeah.
Yeah, in a good way. I mean, we are out the door. If I'm traveling over the weekend, I will have the people they're staying with take them to our church. It's not because it's any self-righteous thing. It's because I know... I mean, I hope it's not, but primarily it's because we are there to worship God, of course. But on top of that, it's just the habit. It's just week after week of what you do on Sunday mornings is you go to church and worship God. What you do on weekday mornings is you get up and go to school. What you do on Saturday mornings is you get up and do your chores. I mean, it's just, I want this to be unfathomable for my children to be at home on a Sunday morning. And unless they are really sick, it really is. And part of that is just saying it is so important to instill in them that sense of this is what we do. And then from that flow, obviously, the much more hopefully important issues of truly worshiping God, getting to, you know, knowing him rightly, you know, following him, growing in his likeness, et cetera, when hopefully we won't get so much of this hookup culture. But part of it just starts with some real basics, which means we don't do soccer on Sunday mornings. We don't do sleepovers that go into Sunday mornings. We don't do birthday parties on Sunday mornings, which occasionally my kids have been invited to. It's just off the schedule.
Right. Well, it's families trying to squeeze out every last minute of time and deciding that they can take this off the table as a priority. And even, you know, you see stores having the, you know, the early bird special on Sunday morning from 7 to noon and that kind of thing. When, you know, I remember growing up, of course, you know, you couldn't buy anything on a Sunday. Most everything was closed. But,
right.
you know, in addition to the habit, which I think is just brilliant, but it's also the fact that our churches and our temples and our synagogues, these are the places where moral teaching has always traditionally been communicated to the culture.
Absolutely.
And so when you have a growing segment of the culture that is not church-going or that claims no religion, then you have a growing segment of the culture that isn't being fed to understand morality, that it isn't getting a moral compass to navigate the world. And so I really fear that without that tradition for our kids, we're missing more than just, you know, a sense of God in their lives, but also a sense of how to navigate the world in any sort of moral way.
Yeah, excellent point. That used to be the tradition of handing down moral teaching, moral learning, moral standards and codes.
Mm-hmm.
And a sense that the world isn't all about you. There are other things out there that are bigger and more important. And our kids are losing that if instead they're just playing soccer on Sunday morning. So, yeah, I'm with you there, and I think that's one of the reasons we're getting all this other crazy stuff we're talking about. And it is all a little scary. So, Mary Beth Hicks, what's on your plate to write about in the weeks ahead? I always love reading your stuff. You do great things.
Oh, you're so great. Thank you so much. I'm really considering a lot, Betsy, the ways in which our political life is mirroring our family life.
Oh.
I'm sort of contemplating, I'm seeing so much pragmatism in our politics right now, and, you know, ideology seems to be the bad word these days. People don't want it to, you know, if you're ideological, you're some sort of, you know, you're an evil moralist. My God.
Sure, of course.
But we're seeing that same sort of pragmatism in parenting, and I know you've talked about it extensively, and that's that, you know, oh, we'll just, they're going to do it anyway kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll collect the car keys and host a kegger at our home and that sort of stuff. And we can't be pragmatic as parents. We have to communicate our values and our ideology to our children, and that's supposed to be your guiding, your guidepost for making decisions
right.
in the world.
Mary
and
Beth,
so that's
okay.
what I'm on.
All right. Well, we look forward to reading more of you, Mary Beth Hicks in the Washington Times. Thanks so much for coming on and talking with me today on It Takes a Parent. Appreciate so much having you on the show. Have a great day, friends. Come right back for fitness and you. Stay tuned.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160, WYLL.
Do you know that a huge percentage of illnesses are because of stress? I believe it. Look, I used to think a massage was a rare luxury to be enjoyed only on a vacation or for a special occasion, but no more. Not since I've been going to Massage Envy in Western Springs. Now, massage is an affordable, regular part of my wellness program. Massage Envy of Western Springs will show you how consistent massage can lower blood pressure and stress, improve your circulation, and make you feel oh so good. And in these tough times, you need something to affordably feel good about. Massage Envy is open late, so you can go after the kids are in bed, or you can walk in anytime. Your first massage is only $49, and a membership at one Massage Envy is good at them all. My Massage Envy in Western Springs is a little oasis for me. And for this single mom of four, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. Call 708-784-ENVY. That's 708-784-ENVY to book your first massage.
Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Man, a quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookie? Mac, and that's why Mac is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around.
Before you decide to move out of Chicago, better check the stores where you're going to make sure they carry Matt's chocolate chip cookies. Matt's is sold in a lot of places, but they're not everywhere, like in California, for instance. So if you're offered a good job in California, better think it over. A career is one thing, but giving up Matt's chocolate chip cookies? Now that's serious.
A quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound.
And that's why Matt is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Yeah, that's why Matt is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Matt.
Now Matt's cookies are available via Peapod Delivery Service.
If the IRS tells you that you owe back taxes, or if the tax collector threatens you with wage garnishments, penalties, or seizures, what can you do? Owe the IRS or state at least $15,000? Call American Tax Relief. They've helped thousands of people like you eliminate up to 85% of their delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-738-2160. You could save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Call right now, 800-738-2160. 800-738-2160.
Calling all campers, and Mom and Dad, that's you too. This is Betsy encouraging you to enjoy the time of your family's life at Cape Wise Family Camp in Branson, Missouri this summer. Choose your 6 days of solid Christian teaching and fun activities for the whole family in a beautiful Hawaii-like resort environment. My kids and I love it, so we're headed back this summer. Check out Cape Wise Family Camp, part of the Kanaka family of Christian sports camps, by going to my website, betsysblog.com. Cape Wise, a family vacation with eternal significance.
AM 1160.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart, AM 1160 WYLL. Just a few minutes left in the show. But now we get to talk. I get to talk a little bit about something I've been up to lately, which is, for the first time in my life, going to fitness classes on a really regular basis at a great gym, Elite Fitness in Western Springs. And I actually talked the owner of Elite Gym to coming on the air with me to talk a little bit about, hey, you know what, just do it. Mark Wolls, welcome to the It Takes a Parent show.
Hello, Betsy. How are you?
I am great. And, you know, friends, as I've mentioned to you before, every single one of my sponsors, you can look at whether it's Matt's Cookies or Massage Envy, Dr. Wafi Khanna, and certainly Elite Fitness, are people that I go to in particular because I love what they do. And I love what they do for me, and I handpick every one of my sponsors. And I did this with Elite Fitness, and they have come on and sponsored the show, and I am really enjoying hanging out over there. So I'm really glad you're here. And I'll tell you that the thing, I had been doing some weight training with a trainer for a couple of years, but I hadn't ever been going to consistent fitness classes like you have at Elite, and it has totally changed my orientation towards fitness. I feel much better. I look better. It's just this endorphin high that I'm getting. I'm there now probably 3 or 4 times a week. And, you know, I was sort of pulled into it by a friend of mine. What about people out there they're like me, they've never really had any experience with going to a gym regularly? Like I said, I did some stuff with a trainer but hadn't really been to a gym regularly. What do you tell folks? What's the biggest thing you can tell them? Just get up, go to your local gym, join, and just start doing it.
Right. Just get in there. Sometimes the hardest part is just getting to the gym and have a plan. That's why the classes work great. It's already scheduled for you. The workout's already pre-orchestrated.
Yeah.
Just get there.
Yeah. That's what I love about the classes, and I find that the chances of me ever going over to the gym and just getting on the treadmill are between zero and none. It's just not going to happen. I need somebody to yell at me or speak loudly, as the case may be, and tell me what to do. But maybe for somebody else, classes aren't the thing, or they're kind of embarrassed, or they don't want to be with a bunch of other people. What are some things that people can do to just get motivated to start a fitness program and figure out what works for them?
Well, a great thing is to have a plan before you get to the gym. So you know what you're doing when you get there.
Okay, so you know if that day is cardio or if it's going to be weightlifting.
Yes.
You've already decided. Does it work to do, okay, every Tuesday is cardio, every Thursday is weightlifting, that kind of thing?
Yes, that's great. Or you do a 3 days on, 1 day off, or 2 days on, 1 day off. That way it's going to keep you from not skipping a day because you know you have the next day off. You have to have a plan when you walk into the gym.
Okay.
Schedule is.
And so what do you do? Like, let's say at Elite, and friends, I really like Elite. It's right in Western Springs. It's right off 294. I can walk there from where I live. I never actually do walk. I always drive, but I would drive to the bathroom if I could, so that doesn't mean anything. So find a gym that's close. It can be intimidating, Mark. If somebody walks in there, they've never really worked out consistently, what do you do, whether it's your gym or somebody else's? Do you approach the owner? Do you approach somebody who works there? Do you say, you know, help me, how do I get started?
Yeah, the best way, approach the owner. If there's a private-owned gym, go to the owner, ask him, say, I need a plan. I need you to work with me. I need somebody to show me what I'm doing in here, whether they're going to write you out an exercise plan, a cardio plan. Just talk to the owner. If it's a big fitness center, ask if you can speak with the manager.
Okay.
And tell them the same thing. Tell them what you're looking for. You just need a plan, because it's better for the health club if you do have a plan, because you're going to retain members. And this is better. This is that you're helping people, and people walk in the door because they want to work out, but don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah, they often don't know. Okay, so don't be afraid to ask. Where do I start? What do I do? And then as you get a little more, as you progress a little bit more, you're getting in there more frequently, you know, find the classes and the things that work for you. Don't be afraid to ask questions of your instructor. It took me a little while to sort of go, you know, well, what's the right weight for me here? And is my form right? And that kind of stuff. But you were also telling me, too, that if classes don't work for you, there's other things you can do, like get a workout partner.
Get a workout partner. Get a friend, your husband, your wife. Buddy up with somebody. Hire a personal trainer for a couple of sessions.
Mm-hmm.
They'll write you out a plan. They'll know that your form is correct, and it'll keep the boredom down.
Yeah. I haven't had the classes at Elite. I don't get bored in those.
Yeah.
I've actually been. They really, I think, for the most part, really keep moving. And what's fun, too, is to see progression over time. So I got to tell you, Mark, the first time I did a spin class there a couple months ago, I didn't really even know what spin was. I didn't know if we were standing on the floor and doing the spin like a dance. I really didn't know. I just heard it was a spin class. A friend said, you're going fine. So I get on these bikes, and I thought I was in fairly good shape. I thought I was going to die. And I'm looking around at gals who are maybe a little bit bigger than I am, and they're standing in the on the pedals, and they're pedaling away. I thought I might die that day.
But you felt good when you were finished, right?
Yeah, well, I felt almost dead when I was finished, but I kept going back. And so now I can pretty close to keep up. And, man, when that 50 minutes or that hour is over, it is like no other feeling. It just feels so good. I had never experienced, even with the weight training I was doing, I'd never experienced the endorphin high. Tell me a little bit about that, because I got it now, and I love it.
What it is, your body naturally releases these endorphins when you exercise. Endorphins give you energy.
So is it a hormone? Is it a chemical? What is it?
It's a hormone. It's a hormone that your body naturally has, and through exercise, your body will release that hormone, which is going to give you energy, 3 to 4 hours of sustained energy. So if you're tired, if you don't feel like going to work out, if you have stress, go work out. It's the best thing for you. Do a half hour long session of exercise, and you will not walk out of the gym tired. You'll have energy. Your stress will be relieved. It's the best thing for you.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive. But what I wasn't expecting, because I really hadn't experienced it, or at least not for long enough, I didn't remember it, is just the sense of well-being. I mean, I would say I've been happier these last few months. I'm generally a very happy, optimistic person, but I have been so much over that, or above that, even the last few months, because of the sense of emotional well-being that some of it just physically causes, that endorphin high. And when I work out 4 or 5 days in a row, which I've sometimes done, it's just, I'm king of the world. I got to tell you, it's cool.
And you usually work out in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You could handle anything that's thrown at you the rest of the day because you worked out.
Yeah. So some people will say, and I was sort of like this. I say, oh, you know, I've got low blood pressure and I'm not overweight and I lift these weights. So I'm doing okay. I don't need much more. And I had a friend talk me into getting going there, and I just started loving it and doing more and seeing myself being able to do better. And I'll tell you, that endorphin high has just been a benefit I wasn't expecting. I loved it. I love it. So just want to encourage people just to do it, take advantage of it, whether it's Elite Fitness or somewhere else, but just start going on a regular basis. It will improve the quality of your life.
Right. And if anybody needs help, just ask. Don't be afraid to ask.
Okay.
Go into a group class and tell the instructor, I'm new, I've never taken this class before, and you get the best benefits that way. The instructor will show you the proper form. Everybody's been new to a class, so don't be afraid.
Yeah, that is the thing. You got to remember, you're not the first new person who's ever walked in the door. So have you been following Michelle Obama's arms?
Yes, I am.
So what do we do to get Michelle Obama's arms?
Work out consistently and do some tricep exercises, some push-ups.
Yeah, those triceps, they're bugging me.
Yeah.
You know, they're better now, but I'm telling you, I'm determined not to look like the turkey, you know, the old ladies who look like the turkeys. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. So I'm in there with the weights. It's hard for me though, but that's an age giveaway for women. So she's doing something really cool to have arms.
Yeah, she's doing some weight training. She's doing some classes because, you know, the classes aren't only offered for cardio reasons. There's also
right.
strength classes.
Yeah, I find I do two cardio. I try to do two cardios and two strengths a week. And I'm telling you, friends, I've loved it. So I'm glad Mark and Elite Fitness are there and find a place that works for you. Mark, thanks so much for coming on the air today. I really appreciate it. And thanks for your support of the show.
Thank you, Betsy.
Friends, that's it for It Takes a Parent. I hope you've enjoyed the program today. I hope you'll visit me at betsysblog.com. I love to hear from readers and listeners. And I hope you'll come back next week. From all of us at It Takes a Parent, this is Betsy Hart saying, have a great one.
Chicago's Christian Talk includes New Life Live with Stephen Arterburn. Learn more at newlife.com and listen weekdays at 1.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think you need a lift? That maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, to eat well, to look good for your age, to be healthy, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? Acclaimed facial cosmetic surgeon Dr. Wafi Khanna and the folks at Skinsational Med Spa in Hinsdale can help. Today there are so many wonderful enhancements available to you with little or no downtime and no surgery. And they can help you to look good on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. Dr. Hannah is a leader in treatments like Restylane to fill deeper facial lines, Botox to soften them, and the amazing skin tightener Accent. What's really incredible, just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skinsational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180. Or visit HannahMD.com.
Spiritual nourishment while you eat lunch. What a concept. Chuck Swindoll and Charles Stanley, weekdays from noon to 1, here on AM 1160 WYLL.
Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Matt, a quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Matt, and that's why Matt is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around.
Most things today seem to be mass production and speed. In the big cookie companies, for instance, the cookies race along at 35 miles an hour so they can keep up with production. But at Matt's, we do things nice and slow. That's because it takes longer to make Matt's cookies with all natural ingredients instead of artificial ones. But while Matt's cookies may be made slow, boy, do they get eaten up fast.
A quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. And that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Yeah, that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Matt.
Now Matt's cookies are available via Peapod Delivery Service.